Imagine Dragons, Loom, World Tour. Live in Salt Lake City, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater, Friday, October 11th. The brand new album, Loom, is available everywhere June 28th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. For more, visit ImagineDragonsMusic.com.
Priced out. Housing. Special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
Boy, we know that buying a house is, you know, your most important purchase. So grateful for the Stern team, Russell Fawcett, for being in studio with us today to walk us through the financial aspect of buying a home. There's always some confusion about earnest money, what it is, how much you should put down to secure that purchase, and how long it has to stay, you know, put down before, you know, the deal goes through. So Russell's going to answer lots of these questions for us.
Well, help me understand. I think especially for a first-time home buyer, what is earnest money and how much should people be prepared for?
Okay. So let's start at the beginning as far as what is it, right? In order to have a legal contract, one of those things you have to have is what's called consideration. And so your earnest money is a dollar amount that you essentially put down that is considerations. And that's what one of the items that makes it a binding contract. So legally, earnest money can be as little as a dollar. Like, there's no set requirement of how much earnest money you need. But the other thing is earnest money is you can actually strengthen your offer without actually costing you anything. So let's say, you know, you put $10,000 down. That's going to make your offer look stronger than the exact offer where someone puts $1,000 down. Mm. You asked how much. Again, kind of 1% is usually where we start of like, do you have 1%? That's a good amount.
Of the sale price.
Of the sales
price. Of the asking price,
yep.
Yeah.
And so what happens to the earnest money? If you default on your contract as a buyer, one of the options would be to have that earnest money go to the seller as your remedy of default. And so that's why, you know, a higher amount looks stronger to a seller. But there's definitely things you can do to protect that earnest money.
I do want to say I've had an offer in the past. I'm trying to remember the exact terms of the offer. But one of them was if they, for some reason, didn't qualify or something happened because there was a bidding war involved in the house, that I could keep the earnest money. And that seemed at the time really, really attractive to me as the seller. Okay. But Russell, I ended up going with the other offer that didn't offer that because I felt the buyer was in a much better position to follow through with the transaction. So you might, you know, be aware that just because you can't offer, like you don't have the money to just give away to the seller if the transaction falls through, that there are sellers out there who are looking at other offers or your offer as being the best offer overall.
Right. And so what kind of... When we look at your situation, we'd call that skin in the game, right? So they're putting up money that no matter what happens, say that inspection came back bad, they were willing to still give you the earnest money. Or maybe it was contingent upon, hey, an appraisal. We've seen a lot of offers and multiple offers situations say, you know, we're going to give a certain percent or all of the earnest money. We'll have that go hard immediately. In a competitive market, yeah, you can do that to strengthen your offer. People also do that, and you're, you know, maybe you're like, hey, I'm going to do a bigger earnest money, but I'm going to offer less. And then at that point, at the end of the day with earnest money, it all washes out because it is not above the purchase price. That goes towards your down payment, your closing costs, your the actual purchase price. So even though it appears like, yes, it is a stronger offer because of the higher earnest money, it actually does not net the seller any more money.
At what point does the earnest money go hard? Like there's typically a grace period, right? Like if I put $1,000 or $5,000 toward it, I've noticed there's typically a grace period where they're like, you can back out in 2 weeks and then you get a full refund. Is that common?
Yep. So the way on the Utah State approved real estate purchase contract, you have four deadlines. So your first deadline is the settlement deadline. Then you have your due diligence deadline, the third one, finance and appraisal deadline, and your last one is your settlement deadline. So the one you're talking about typically is the due diligence deadline. And normally that is 7 to 14 days where you're going to do all of your due diligence. And if you cancel prior to that due diligence deadline, then the contract reads that the earnest money would go back to you. The next deadline, the finance and appraisal deadline, if you know you're unhappy with the terms of your loan or the property does not appraise, if you cancel prior to that finance and appraisal deadline, then the same thing, the earnest money would go back to you. However, if you cancel after that finance and appraisal deadline, before the settlement deadline, that's when the earnest money would go to the seller.
Russell Fawcett with the Stern team in studio with us, walking through those first steps that buyers need to be aware of and will have to make if they're going to buy a home. And of course, the home selling markets can be in full swing here in the next few weeks because it is spring, or it is spring. My goodness, here we are in April already. And usually that's when home sales really take off. What's a good down payment? What should people be considering for a down payment to really get them into that that home, put them in a good position, Russell?
Yeah, so with down payments, it depends on the program, your loan program you're going to go with. It depends on how much money do you have, right? So FHA, you're typically 3.5% that you need down. That's a program that is built more around for first-time home buyers. There are even programs out there with some grants that you may be able to get in with zero money down. Now, if you want to get rid of mortgage insurance and things like that, then you're looking at 20% down.
And mortgage insurance will usually tack on, I want to say, maybe $150, $200 a month to your payment if you don't put that 20% down. That's because the mortgage company is taking a higher risk because you haven't had that, you know, you don't have that much money down on the property. Am I correct in my assessment of that?
Correct. So mortgage insurance, it is different than homeowner insurance.
Right.
So the mortgage insurance, you're right on the payment, usually a couple hundred dollars. And that does protect the lender that if you were to default and they ended up, you know, short on getting their repayment, there's an insurance company that would then make up that difference.
And you're paying that premium with that extra. But if you put that 20% down, that goes away. That
correct.
Mortgage insurance payment goes away, which reduces your payment
yep.
monthly.
But to give you an idea, at just 3.5% on a $500,000 house, that's almost $18,000 that you got to come up with for a down payment.
Correct. Yeah, so you have your down payment, and you're still going to have usually 1% to 3% in closing costs on top of that. And so if you're looking to buy a home, I would plan on kind of that, unless you qualify for some of the other programs, plan on having at least 5% down to be able to put down towards closing costs and a down payment.
Why do closing costs in the final minute we have? Why do closing costs fluctuate so much between 1% and 3%? Because that's thousands of dollars.
Yeah, part of it depends on, you know, the type of home you're buying. So what goes into your closing costs? One of it is your lender rates. So that's why you do want to shop your lender, because that is your origination fee on your loan. Some programs out there allow you to wrap that into the loan. Others want it up front. That's your title fees and then your homeowner's insurance. And that typically brings in what it is. The other one is some communities have an HOA fee, where the buyer has to pay, you know, a new applicant fee or whatever to get into the home.
I had to pay that when I moved out to Daybreak, and it was a one-time, well, I pay a monthly HOA, but it was a one-time fee that I had to pay at closing. So there's all kinds of things to know. Good thing we have the Stern team. Russell, this is a great discussion. Thank you so much. We always appreciate our friends at the Stern team kind of sorting through these difficult topics for people. Some of my younger friends, my kids' friends are like, we don't know what earnest money is. Tell us what earnest money is. So you've answered a lot of questions today.
Oh, and I love the explanation that goes toward the purchase price. That's just not money above and beyond that you've lost. That will go toward the purchase price. So Russell, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. If you want more information on the Stern team, of course, you can always go to thesternteam.com for all of the info there. Thanks, Russell. We'll see you soon. Straight ahead, Boyd Matheson walking into studio, taking us inside the polarization of the political season.